present the News Quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome again to the News Quiz. We start with a clipping from The Telegraph read by Charlotte Green.
A litter of 9 liver and tan bloodhounds has been produced after 20 years of breeding by Tony and Margaret Higginbottom.
Thanks to Ad Barker of Bicester for that. Let's meet the teams now, please. Welcome on my right, returning prodigal Jeremy Hardy and the newcomer, author and journalist Paul Sussman. On my left, Alan Corran and TV's Mr. Television, Clive Anderson. Jeremy, which PM devoted to the PM has been brought to book?
Peter Mandelson, who comes off as rather an emotional soul. Obviously, one thinks of him as someone very dedicated who's made a lot of sacrifices, goats and virgins and so on. But he fell out with Gordon Brown, who we keep hearing is this great, brilliant mind and intellect. And it struck me as rather odd in that case that the moment he became Chancellor of the Exchequer, he said, "Oh, no, I can't do interest rates, sorry. Somebody else will have to do that." But he's very emotional, Mandelson. All his letters end, "love Peter" and stuff. That's why they can't have him as Foreign Secretary, because he wouldn't be able to declare wars. They'd all end up with "love Peter" at the end.
A new biography of Peter Mandelson by Don McIntyre has been serialised in The Independent all week. The biography is said to have been written with the help of Mr. Mandelson's friends. A solo effort, then. So, 2 points to Jeremy. Paul, which lady is not for feuding?
This is about Mrs. Thatcher, who's a long-running feud with Sir Edward Heath, was, by all accounts, laid to rest. They managed to bury the hatchet in Sir Edward's back. Rather amusing comment Sir Edward made at the photo call where Mrs. Thatcher said to him, "Oh, you should be on my right," and he said, "That would be hard." They were later seen scooting off around Hyde Park on Sir Edward's Lambretta, singing the theme tune to the Dambusters. They're well and truly bosom buddies now.
You're supposed to get more right-wing as you get older, aren't you? Which leaves Thatcher a bit stuck, really.
This friendship is all just based on her praising his manifesto about the 1975 election, which he gave up about 3 years later, so she wasn't exactly coming out as a full-blown Heathite.
Well, she said he was very effective because he brought industry to a standstill and then she finished it off, I suppose.
As she looked back on her time in office, Lady Thatcher admitted that while it had been marked by the death of British manufacturing industry, whole communities had been ravaged by unemployment and police battened, charged honest working miners, there were some bad memories as well. So, 2 points there to you, Paul. And Clive, whose job application seems to have fallen on Tony grounds?
Is this a local story to the BBC?
It is.
Well, I'm not sure the premise of your question is entirely right, but the rumour in all good broadcasting circles is that Greg Dyke is a shoo-in for the Director General of the BBC. And I'd like to say now, in case he does get the job, and given that quite a lot of my income at the moment comes from the BBC, I shall be right behind him and looking forward to him bringing some of the pizzazz that he brought to breakfast television with Roland Ratt and so forth. But apparently he's either going to get the job because he's a friend of Tony Blair, which is a good thing to be these days, or because he's a friend of Tony Blair, he should not be allowed to have the job because it'll go to John Simpson instead.
Governor mentioned the £50,000 he slipped Tony Blair for the election. This is for the election to the Director General.
Well, I didn't want to embarrass you because I know your job on the News Quiz is only secured by huge contributions to the...
I brought my lawyer along to so I could get away with statements.
Unfortunately, I am your lawyer.
Yes, he's a...
Well, he's a friend of Tony Blair, also a big contributor to the Labour Party.
Following critical remarks from BBC insiders, the corporation has pledged to prevent any further Dyke leaks as soon as it can find a Dutch boy with the right-sized finger. Alan, listen to this. In 110, they haven't paid the rent, so there goes the TV with the repo-man. In 999, they make a living from crime. The house is always empty because they're all doing time. Oh, if you find a time, please come and stay a while. It might get Alan, what was the straw that finally nicked the camel's back for Scousers?
For Scousers? This is a Liverpool story?
Yes.
Straw.
How did you know this? This is Jack Straw.
Jack Straw made a rude remark.
Remark about Scousers.
Yes.
Yes.
You knew that?
That's why I brought you. People who don't remember Peter Brough and Artie Andrews should tune into the repeat of this programme. Oh, I'm working Clive Anderson with my foot.
Yes. Is that what it is? I was terribly impressed. You don't have to answer this question.
I don't know this answer, but it is
Jack Straw made a rude remark about Liverpool.
So I gather from the question.
Well, he said something very mild. He said, Scousers are always up to something. And everyone in Liverpool immediately assumed that meant, they were up to no good and stealing hubcaps. And famous Scousers like Anne Robinson came out and saying, hey, no, leave it out.
If it had been anybody else, you'd have thought it was an ill-conceived joke. But from Jack Straw, you think it might be the prelude to a sort of 24-hour curfew in the whole of the North West. It was rather good that all these Liverpudlians came on the radio and were saying, this is terrible stereotyping us. It's waning. Have you ever heard of Scouts of Wayne? I mean, come on. Is there a believe it? I mean...
After Alan Bleasdale accused the Home Secretary of peddling patronising clichés about Liverpool, Jack Straw was immediately offered a 12-month writing contract on Brookside. So, at the end of round one, everybody has 4 points. And round two begins with an item from the Liverpool Echo.
Liverpool City Council urgently needs to recruit school crossing patrols. Details of all posts advertised are available on request in Braille.
Jeremy, why is the Tory party in such a sorry state?
Oh, this is the Asian rich thing, when the richest Asian people in the country all get together, and they had Cherie Blair in the sorry there, and they had Fiona. She was there, and what's his name? William Hague said, Asian people are as British as the Northern Irish, which makes them Irish, in fact, doesn't it? Is rather confusing. But yeah, it's a big do, and the Tories all sort of sidle up to the Asians and say, we're not really racists, we've been into some of your shops, you know, and left quickly but said a polite thank you.
Fionn Hague turned up at a dinner for Asian businessmen in an ill-fitting sari made from yards of material that nevertheless exposed enormous areas of naked flesh, a fashion tip she picked up from her husband's forehead. Well done, Jeremy. 2 points to you. Paul, whose coverage of Test match cricket will be all talk?
This is a slight spat between Talk Radio, Kelvin McKenzie's little empire, and the BBC. And the BBC have lost out on coverage of this summer's Test match.
I was listening to Talk Radio the other night. I was leaving Birmingham, which is always a good idea. And I was travelling home, and it was very late at night, and Talk Radio was on. And it's terrible. It's like this refuge for all those people who are not ready to re-enter normal society. And I thought, these people will be commenting on the Test match. It was LBW or not, give us a call. Is the umpire blind as a bat? What do you think? Call us now. And to those Radio 4 listeners who are missing the Test match, if you like it so much, why don't you go and live in South Africa?
Are they still going to listeners going to send cakes to the Talk Radio people?
I suppose.
They'll phone them in. They won't send them. They just phone them.
Johnners and Aggers and all that, couldn't they just watch the TV and do it off that?
Johnners is no longer with us, I'm afraid.
Where are you calling from, Johnners?
We're bang up to the minute on this programme, aren't we? Where is Talk Radio going to get anyone like John Arliss with his lovely tone? W.G. Grace will be turning on the wicket, I don't know.
It'd be great having John Arlott on Talk Radio. It'd be like, and give us a call now there on 0171. I think that's a one. That's 9 there. There's a 3 coming up there. Just coming into view there.
I had lunch with John Arlott once before he died. Oh, God.
What happened to this lunch?
Lunch consisted of 3 bottles of wine and a sausage. Many are asking how the BBC have lost rugby union, Formula One racing, Test match cricket on TV, and now this. The answer is, of course, because of the unique way in which the BBC is managed. Clive, listen to this.
We're a long way from home. Welcome to the pleasure dome. On our way home. Going home where love is wrong. Long way from home. Welcome to the pleasure dome.
Clive, who can now proudly boast they too are Berliners?
Berliners, we've opened, the Germans have opened a new Reichstag building.
Correct.
Designed by Sir Norman Foster or Richard Rogers or somebody fantastically great and British who doesn't do anything over here, but they get these commissions abroad and it's fantastic and beautiful and we are now hamburgers. So that's it.
I hope they've got a sprinkler in there because if that thing burns down, there'll be all hell to pay.
Yes, the German Parliament completed its move from Bonn to Sir Norman Foster's revamped Reichstag this week. From the top of the glass dome, it's possible to see the area reserved for housing the Reichstag staff, or Poland, as it used to be known. Alan, whose 73rd birthday showed signs of Far Eastern promise?
Oh, this is Her Majesty the Queue, who went to Korea with Philip. And Philip fell asleep at the table. One spaniel patty too many in Korea, and that doesn't...
He's ancient, isn't he, now? He's entitled to fall asleep. He must have heard her speech before now. How pleased she is to be here in fill-in name of country. Thank you so much for the kind gift of the Korean, whatever it is this time. I hope you like the shortbread.
And she had to take her shoes off to go into a Korean house. I mean, they are being diminished wherever they go, aren't they? I mean, I have to say this, as an Englishman. Why should the Queen take her shoes off to go to a Korean lounge?
She spends her life surrounded by corkies. Imagine the state of the soles of her shoes.
Or snacks, as they call them in Korea. But wasn't Prince Philip complaining there's too much sex on the internet?
Yes.
I'm with him on that one. In fact, you can't see his face so well, but...
And the scores at the end of round two are everybody with 8 points. Jeremy, who went la-la at the news that the government was doming down?
Is this the fact that the Teletubbies and Viagra are going to be featured in the dome? Which is an outrageous idea, that the Teletubbies and Viagra are the greatest achievements in modern British history. Sadly, it's of course true. We no longer produce anything apart from Kendall mint cake and weapons. And so there's going to be a huge sort of Teletubby figure, and it'll have a sort of platform, and you stand on the platform and put a little Viagra token into the machine, and then the platform sort of elevates. And your smile appears on the Teletubby, and its tinky is no longer so winky.
There's also going to be a thing called a waterless urinal.
Pardon?
I didn't know what that was. It's going to be...
Well, a litter tray.
I don't know. Putting Viagra in to show what Britain can do if you give them an hour's notice.
Because they've also got a stand for the extra-thin condom, haven't they? Which is also an English invention.
The extra-thin condom?
The extra-thin condom, not just the condom.
Like a wafer-thin mint, Tony.
Have you ever tried that thing where you get a condom and you get it right over your head?
And rob a bank?
No.
You put a condom on your head, okay?
Yeah, you can get it right over your head, and then you go... And it sort of blows up, and you look like you're in a big diving helmet.
Children, don't try this at home.
Are you sure you're reading the instructions correctly?
Among other exhibits in the dome are Viagra, the electric chair, and an acoustic fence that is true that fends off unwanted fish. So far, tests on the acoustic fence have been extremely successful, with the farmers involved saying that since installing them, they haven't lost a single sheep to marauding fish. Right, so 2 points there. Paul, listen to this music. Neanderthal Man by Hot Legs. Paul, which 300,000-year-olds turn out to have made love, not war?
I think it's to do with Cro-Magnon man, a Neanderthal man, and a skeleton has been discovered down a rabbit hole, of all places, in Portugal, which purports to be the skeleton of a sort of mixed marriage, if indeed they had such things 300,000 years ago, between Cro-Magnon man and Neanderthal woman, or possibly vice versa. And it was always assumed that that the Cro-Magnons had emerged from Africa and wiped out the Neanderthals, and there was absolutely no intermingling or interbreeding between the two races, but apparently there was, because this skeleton has the head and facial features of a Cro-Magnon person, but the body of a Neanderthal, as seen every week during England rugby matches.
Yeah. This proves that the Countryside Alliance are not as inbred as we thought. Because not only have they bred outside the family, but outside the species, some of them.
When they have this terrible image of the first female hominid, though, sort of walking along in Portugal, and this Neanderthal comes towards you, think, what the hell, give it a try. Just a focal moment in history, isn't it?
Yeah. Imagine all her girlfriends saying, what are you doing with him? She says, oh, he's not like that when he's with me. Didn't Neanderthals have strange dome-like foreheads?
Yes. Scientists seeking further confirmation that modern woman could have mated with Neanderthal man are camped outside Liam Gallagher and Patsy's right now. Clive, why might night time not be the right time for Billy Bunter?
I have heard something on the radio about this, and Alan's trying to whisper something in my ear, but I think there's a suggestion that if you snack in the middle of the night, you might have an eating disorder. Obviously, it's an eating disorder if you eat too much, there's an eating disorder if you eat too little, but the mere fact of sort of staggering back from the pub in the middle of the night and then start raiding the fridge, the suggestion that that's an eating disorder is frankly ridiculous. It's just outrageous.
Well, it's more than that. It said people that got up and went down and ate during the middle of the night, yes, woke up depressed.
Yes.
It's presumably because their pyjamas are covered in gin and a chicken leg has worked its way somewhere that makes it difficult to extrude. But it was about depression. It's a depressive
disorder.
There's
been a survey about depression this week that says that people in the Midlands are the least depressed people in the country, which is counterintuitive, I think.
Their accent gets it out of their system, I suppose. Yeah. They just work through it as the day goes on. Start out sounding like that, and then by about midnight they're thinking, oh, maybe things aren't quite so bad after all.
Alan, who discovered to her cost that the price of love is exactly £18,000?
Yes, yeah, the romantic little Mills and Boone number was this bloke, Walker, who sued this girl.
Parker.
Parker, who had a long affair with this woman, and when they separated, he sent her a bill for all sorts of things, like Paul's contraceptives and a bolt on a door for 27 and threepence and you know, half a cheese sandwich that he'd left on his plate, and she then finished, and he billed her for it. And he actually got away with it. I think he got 10,000 quid. He sued for 18,000 and got 10,000 quid. Nasty story. It's left the audience chasing.
Yes, yes.
They're thinking, what would it be worth to leave him? What have I done? How much do I get for the double glazing? What about those false teeth I bought her?
The property tycoon William Parker tried to charge his former girlfriend £18,000 for many of the gifts he'd given her when they were still together. He kept a meticulous record of everything she owed, and this is true, including £11 for cigarettes and £4 for a can of Duckham's motor oil. The bill included £5,000 for a trip aboard the Royal Scotsman. At the time, she thought this was simply the normal cost of a super saver return on Northeast trains. And at the end of round three, the scores are still everybody even on 12 points each. Before we start the final round, here's a clipping from the Melton Times.
Auctions, langour, old sewage works, Bottom House Farm, an isolated 1.5-acre brownfield site with interesting possibilities.
Thanks to Mitchell Stevens of Carshalton for that. Jeremy, your music.
My life was spared that morning because it wasn't theirs to take. Grease the boat and all requires a man to feel the stake.
Jeremy, the report of whose death turned out to be greatly exaggerated.
This is a violinist called Dave Swarbrick, who used to be in Fairport Convention. And there was a little sample of it there, and that's English folk music. And I think we can all be very proud. And he's not dead. And the Telegraph printed his obituary. And then someone must have gone in the office and said, you know that obituary yesterday about poet Dave Swarbrick? And they said, yeah, it was good, wasn't it? Yeah, but he's alive. And they must have all gone, oh, God, no! Can't we have him killed or something? This is terrible.
Folk musician Dave Swarbrick, recovering from illness in hospital, was shocked to read his own obituary in the Daily Telegraph, which is even more bizarre because he isn't even a retired army colonel. Paul, whose nappy sparked a panic in his mother?
It was a child who had a nappy on and was lying in his cot, and his mother went in to see him, and this nappy had turned luminous green in the night and was emitting these sort of strange sparks. And the mother thought her child was about to burst into flames for whatever reason. And it later transpired there was some scientific explanation to do with Velcro and urine and nappy material that actually caused this sort of sparking, which I've often seen in my bed, actually.
All these scientists were just saying, yes, this is a completely normal, very well-known phenomenon. Very many people have had firework displays shooting out of their bottoms. It's really quite ordinary. I think the child is either possessed or been taken over by aliens, quite clearly. I think you get a priest in when sparks start shooting out of his bottom, right?
Lembotropocypoia.
You know the child's name as well,
yeah.
I don't know why I bothered to learn it. One of Paul Yates' children, it turns out.
Police came round to Paul Yates' place looking for crack cocaine and ecstasy, and she said, they're in the park with the nanny. Well, can Clive split the scores? Clive, where is the Moulin Rouge under threat from the Fenêtre Bleu?
Oh, I think I might be able to help out on the scores here. The Moulin Rouge, Fenêtre Bleu. I can translate it, but I can't work out a connection with the blue windows.
It's not the police story, is it?
No.
Could I have a little slip in here?
Yes.
Is this something to do with the department store in Paris, which is... in order to advertise its wares, particularly its lingerie and ladies' underwear, has been actually using live models as opposed to mannequins. So these rather attractive Parisian women have been parading back and forth in front of this window.
I always walk around with nothing but my pants on by the windows that look out on the road. And I've never had any complaints. I always put my trousers on before the pizza man arrives. You've got to dress for dinner, haven't you?
British women, meanwhile, were appalled at the display of French fancies, particularly as not a single one of the models was a member of the Ryalston Yorkshire Women's Institute. Alan, which crustacean had the world at its feet?
Foot. It only had one claw. This is a lobster. There's a joke about a one-clawed lobster, isn't there? A man goes into a restaurant and orders a lobster, and they bring him one. He's only got one claw. He says, the way this lobster's only got one claw. And Wade says, yeah, but he lost it in a fight. And the bloke says, well, bring me the winner. But this is that. This is a lobster with one claw, very small lobster, that walked all the way from Wales to Cornwall along the seabed. Couldn't swim, I suppose, because having one claw, it would just go around in circles. It would be off Wales to this day. It was tagged. It's amazing that anybody ever thought that a lobster was edible. There's this thing like a Meccano set walking along the bottom of the sea. How do you know there was meat in there? It's quite impressive. Anyway, that's what it did, and it ended up at Land's End.
Yes, a lobster incredibly walked from Pembrokeshire to Cornwall. The lobster completed the 180-mile journey in just under 3 months, a record previously held by a Virgin Intercity train. The lobster has become something of a local celebrity and is to appear on numerous TV shows in the coming weeks, including Blue Peter, The Really Wild Show, Animal Hospital, and finally Ready, Steady, Cook. It's thought to be the longest single walk ever completed by a spindly, thick-skinned creature with a fearsome reputation for snapping since Janet Street Porter's Sharon. Before we reveal the final scores, let's see what cuttings the teams have brought along. Jeremy.
Well, I've got two here that we can choose from. This one I actually took from Stackis Hotel in Birmingham, and it's something for hanging on the door. If you are in some way incapacitated or require assistance in the event of a fire alarm being sounded, please display this card outside your room before retiring. This is the other one. This one comes from SW Magazine, which is a free glossy in southwest London that advertises posh dentists and pubs that don't allow poor people. And it says, congratulations to Clapham author Lindsay Hughes, whose mammoth tome, Russia in the Age of Peter the Great, has just been published. Lindsay is the proud owner of three cats called Sophie, Catherine and Tablet. Sophie is also Professor of Russian History at the University of London.
This is a story from Sweden. A man in Kalmar was not content with a stockinged head when he tried to rob a bank. For protection, he carried a baseball bat, but as a disguise, he sported a yellow chicken suit. Despite this, he failed to make off with any money, but the cashier is currently undergoing psychological counselling for the trauma. Police have decided that identikit posters would be a waste of resources.
Clive.
Well, this was sent in by John Baker, but he wants it to be credited to Mr. Pat Carroll. I don't know what's going on there, but there it is. And it's about a snooker club in Alderley Edge, which is in Cheshire. It comes from the Wilmslow Express. For the first time in the club's 96-year history, women will be allowed to sit in the snooker area and watch men play with each other. So long as the ladies keep still and remain quiet.
Alan.
I have a fraught gobbit from the Salisbury Times, Simon. It says, Mr. Dickinson confessed to the affair after his wife discovered a gift from Miss Baxter in the glove compartment of his car. It was a lucky rabbit's foot.
Thank you all, and now let's look at the final scores, which are Alan and Clive 14, but this week's winners with 18 points are Jeremy and Paul. And before we leave you, here's an item seen in the Wiltshire Times, sent to us by C. Ellis of Westbury, Wilts.
One phrase that will no doubt be very useful in the West Country this summer is the pidgin English for a total eclipse. Hurricane lamp belong Jesus Christ gone bugger up.
With that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Alan Corrin, Jeremy Hardy, Clive Anderson and Paul Suskin. The chairman was Simon Hoggart and the news is read by me, Charlotte Green. The chairman's script was written by Dave Cohen, Tom Jameson and George Poles. And the producer was John Rolfe.